especially for you, okay? One of the weirdest prakim that creates a lot of problems, I teach this, I think, every year since I've seen this piece, is Perek Lamed Vav, which is the end of Vayishlach. So what's the end of Vayishlach? Who knows? The end of Vayishlach is the Eilat Toldot Esav Huadom, right? The Toldot of Esav, right? So it goes through all the children of Esav. And then it goes through the Bnei Seir, right? And then it goes through the Melachim. Ve'elam Melachim Esher Malchu Be'eretz Edom L'fnei Melach Melach of Yisrael. So it goes through the whole descendants of Esav, and it goes through all the kings who came from Esav. And it ends up with these are the kings of Esav that ruled before there was a king in Bnei Yisrael. And gives you all the lists, right? Ve'imloch Be'edom Be'la Ben-Bor V'shin Rodin Havad, blah, 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 blah. Right? Now this creates serious problems. Right? Because, right, why is it, what's the big problem with this perek? Right, the big problem with this perek is that it says, right, these are the melachim who rule, and then what? Right, until the Jews had a king, but the Jews didn't have a king for hundreds and hundreds of years. Right, so this creates obviously a big problem. So Ibn Ezra says, well, obviously it is written in right Yeshom Gidarch Nevuah Nechtavazot Parasha. Right, one interpretation to say this is prophetic, and then he quotes V'Yitzchaki Amar B'Sivro Kamei Yoshafat Nechtavazot Parasha. Right, he quotes others who say that this parasha is actually written later. Right, these are actually one of those psukim that might be put in later on. It's written in the time of Yehoshaphat, right? Which is radical, that this is an insertion from later on in history. But whatever it is, right, it's very odd. Like, why is this even here? Like, what is the point? So Yoni Grossman, Professor Yoni Grossman, has one of the best reads of this Perek, and every year I come back to it. And Bikitsur, he says, listen, the simple shot of it is not necessarily that this is all the kings all the way until the Jews had a king, right? It just means that, like, there were a lot of kings in Esav until the Jews had a king. And what's the point? So he says the point is like this. There's a big question in all of hanging over Bereishit, which is why the Jews have to go into Galut and become a nation specifically in Mitzrayim, and only then, right, come back and be a nation, right? Like, why? Let them stick around and slowly build a nation. And what he argues is that, well, what would happen if the Jews stay and they only build as a nation in Israel, right? The most likely result is that what the Jews are going to do is intermarry, right? And in fact, that's what a lot of this parsha was about, right? The story before this parsha is the story of Shechem, where the people of Shechem specifically wanted the Jews to intermarry with them and become one with them. Now, if you intermarry, so how long does it take for you to become powerful, and to really entrench yourself in a land, if you successfully integrate? Right, very quick. But there's the danger that in that process, what's going to happen to you? You lose your identity, right? So it's possible, but it's very unlikely that you're going to manage to integrate and maintain your identity. What's the best way to create like an enclave of your culture? Is to come with enough people, right? Right. Think about it, right? Like when Jews moved in droves to America, right? At the beginning, they kept their culture because like they all moved to Lower East Side, right? They all move to wherever, right? I mean, okay, that's a little bit later in history, but fine, right? You get the point, right? The kids of Olim who tend to be the most Anglo are the ones who move to places like where I live, like Efrat, where there's a critical mass, right, of Olim, right? If you move to Neria, where Ray Wasserman lives, right, so there's very few English speakers, so his kids will probably not have that much of an Anglo identity, where my kids will have some sort of hybrid identity, right, because they moved, right, into a place where there's a lot of, right? So Yoni Grossman argues that The reason the Jews had to develop in Mitzrayim and only then come back is so that they could come as a nation and therefore bring an identity rather than end up being assimilated into the local culture. And then he comes back to our parak and he says, you know, I'll prove it to you. He says, this is what Perek Lamed Vav is all about. Because Perek Lamed Vav tells you that Esav took the opposite attempt, right? Instead of trying to grow himself and then coming, what did he do? He just married and tried to become part of the culture. Right? And he says, if you follow the Perek, what you discover is that Esav much more quickly, right? What does the Perek say? There were all these kings from Esav before the Jews managed to have anything. Right? They managed to gain power very quickly. But if you follow the Perek, what you discover is they did, but they also lost their identity very quickly. Right? So if you follow Lamed Vav, and I'll just skim it, right? So it starts off, Ve'ela toldot Esav hu Edom. These are the children of Esav, which is Edom. Esav lakach et nashav yuno Kena'an. He marries his wives from Kena'an. Right? He takes one from Chiti, then he takes a Chivi, then he takes a Yishmael, right? And then skipping down to Vav, Vayikach Esav et nashav et benav et notav et kol nafshot beitov et gmenev et kol behemtov et kol kenino asher achash v'eretz kanan vayelach el eretz v'nei Yaakov achiv. Then he leaves, right, because of Yaakov. And he goes to Har Seir, which is still Edom, right? And then it tells you, right, his kids. But then in the middle of the parak, it switches and says, "Ve'ela b'nei Seir." It says, "Ela b'nei Esav, ve'ela alufeim hu Edom." These are the children of Esav; they are Edom. "Ela b'nei Seir," and these are the people of Seir. Remember, that's where he went. Right? Meaning, he very quickly, he marries a Kanani, he marries Seir, right? He has all these identities, and very quickly, there's all these kings and all these officers, but he starts off as Edom, and slowly Edom becomes one with Seir, right? And he says, right, Eile alufei achori b'nei Seir b'eretz Edom. And now, right, it starts off at Edom, and halfway through the parak, it becomes the captains of Seir in Edom. Right, meaning the line very quickly blurs because he's intermarried. So sure, his children are numerous and they have Edom identity, right? But they're a hybrid. It's an Edom Seir, right? So quickly, the lines get blurred, right? And by the end, it's El Alufei HaChori Lalufei Beret Seir. Right now, it's the Chori who are in Seir. Right, meaning each generation. Right? It starts off as Edom, then it's Edom and Seir, and then it's the Chori and Seir, right? Meaning, he is intermarrying and becoming powerful very, very quickly. But it's Eila Melachim Asher Malchu Be'eretz Edom. These are the kings in the land of Edom, but it's not Edom anymore, right? It's like in the land of Edom, but it's a mixture of Edom and Seir and Canaan and Chivi and Chiti and Yishmael, and right? So what Perek Lamed Vav does is it comes and teaches you, right, the two different ways that you can have the Jewish people. You can have the You can have a nation. You can either become successful by intermarrying and assimilating, which will bring you short-term success, but also comes at the cost of losing a certain amount of identity. Perhaps all of it, but at least some of it. Right? Or you can come as a group, right, and settle. The cost of that is it takes a very long time. Right? It takes a very long time. You can't be, right? And that's really what the Jews do, right? They go to Mitzrayim, become a nation, and only then return. The cost is that they're in slavery for hundreds of years, right? But the result is that when they come back, they don't intermarry, right? They don't, right? And in fact, what is God's command to them? When you do go to Israel, what's the first thing he tells them, right? Among the first things in Dvarim, don't intermarry, don't make britot, right? Don't make covenants with the people, right? Bring your own identity, don't just become one with them, right? Which is paralleled off of what almost happened in Shechem, right? And by putting the two stories together, where the Jews have a moment where, right, they possibly are going to assimilate, as it were, right? Where they say, we'll marry your kids, you'll marry our kids. And then at the end of the day, the Jews say, we're not doing that. Right, Yaakov isn't thrilled about it, right? But they say they're not doing it, so the Jews end up remaining a small clan for hundreds of years until they return, as opposed to Esav, that, like, overnight becomes a nation, but loses identity. Chumash is showing you two different narratives. that could have happened. One which Esav took, right, and one which the Jews took. And therefore, Paragam Advad is telling you, yes, they had many kings before we did, right? But there was a cost to it because their kings weren't really Esav anymore. It's Edom slash Seir slash Hori slash whatever, right? They became successful by giving up their identity, right? And the reason that they have so many before we do is because that was the path they took. We went the other path, which is we developed as an independent nation and only then came and tried to settle, but that's going to take hundreds of years. So you'll see, they will have many, many, many more kings before we do, right? But it's a different narrative arc. And that's what he thinks the purpose of Paraglam Advav is, which I think is a very compelling read. And it's also the fact everyone skipped, so it's good to have some, you know, something substantive to say. Okay.